Hello and welcome to another episode of Old Faces. I'm your host, Mr. Mocha, and I am back again with Drew Martson, the creator and editor of the Queen of Spades magazine. Welcome back, Drew.
Great to be back. Looking forward to this conversation.
So if you were here with us before, we had a great conversation. The first time we talked, we were able to establish that not only was Drew a bull, but he's an experienced bull, and he's a bull who has a good direction and a good understanding of cuckolding within a lifestyle. So the topic that we're going to start with today is understanding the expectations that a bull should have going into a relationship or an interaction with a couple. So, Drew, I'm going to turn it over to you and first tell me what are you looking for and what is your expectations when you see a couple or you get contacted by a couple or you contact a couple that you like?
What I'm looking for is at the beginning is I'm trying to get a feel for them and their dynamic. You know, and a lot of times through those initial conversations, you can get a feel for like strength of relationship, which is very important. I usually have a
question. Why is that important?
Well, because if you don't want that drama to affect whatever's going on, I don't want to get into a situation in which a couple is unstable. If you don't sense like a healthy relationship, a healthy like marriage, you can tell the difference there. It's going to end up pretty bad. You can end up being collateral damage to whatever is happening. And a lot of times in the lifestyle, you know, bringing in a third person into your relationship forces up a lot of different things. And so you have to have strength in your relationship to be able to handle that. So if you're handling other things that are really unresolved that you put on the back burner and now you're trying to get into this, that just isn't a good idea.
And what kind of I'm going to keep pushing different buttons. When you hit something that's valuable, what are examples of issues that can arise when a bull starts to interact with a couple who he can see doesn't have that strength in their relationship? What kind of scenarios can they run into?
Well, it can run the gamut from some, you know, pretty mild, uncomfortable situations to pretty disastrous situations. I've been fortunate enough where I haven't been in a situation where I've been with an unstable couple beyond like one time. But there was one couple when I was, you know, kind of a rookie in the lifestyle, really wanted to get with this one wife. And when I went to their home and sat there and talked with them, the dynamic between them was just really off. He was really domineering and, you know, very aggressive and, you know, really directing. And this was about him. And she kind of took a back seat to that. But you could tell there were some other things that I couldn't put my finger on and what was going on. But it just felt off. Later on, I found out that she accused him of being a pretty abusive person and that, you know, this was really all his idea. He was forcing her into that situation. So having your antenna up about a lot of things, and one of the things you should look for in particular that can really tell you whether you're going to have some trouble ahead is how they communicate. Now, a lot of times, the best couples that I communicate with, usually, you know, a lot of times it's going to be the guy that's going to do most of the talking in the beginning, but he always makes sure that the wife is involved. Like, you know, answer that, like, or, you know, she should answer this, or, you know, stuff like that. Like, they make sure that this is, you're talking to both of them. And they finish each other's sentences a lot. I've noticed that. So you can tell that there's been some real discussion amongst themselves about boundaries and what they want out of the lifestyle, what each one is comfortable with, what they're willing to do, how far they're willing to push some boundaries. You know, they understand, like, if, you know, there's a rule for, like, say, no kissing, and I have, you know, great chemistry with the wife and we end up kissing, you know, a lot of times the couples that I've played with, she understands that, you know, maybe that was a boundary, but it wasn't a hard boundary, you know? So being in tune with each other on pretty much everything is something that you should really look for to not run into something really bad. I've seen some disastrous situations in which both have gotten involved, and now you find yourself mediating with a couple. Mm-hmm. You know, the husband's talking to you about one thing, the wife's talking to you about, you know, something else, and, you know, now you're put in a position of, you know, basically the Dr. Phil of this relationship, where you're, like, listening to their gripes and things about each other. Or, you know, in some cases, even their deeper issues that they have. Mm-hmm. That's not something you want to be involved in. It really isn't. You know, I've been in situations where I've gotten really close to couples where I've been in their home. I had one couple that literally invited me to their home for 4th of July to introduce as a family friend, met their kids, met family, and those kinds of things. I knew things about that. I knew a lot about their kids just from conversations, just because they, you know, felt comfortable enough to, you know, kind of let that off their chest. It was different stuff about, you know, how the kids were doing in school and, you know, they're driving or they're doing this or, you know, they're in this activity. Nothing like really deep about, you know, interpersonal, interfamily dynamics, but
yeah, the things that happen, you know, when you form a natural bond with people.
Right, exactly. But when you have a situation where, you know, they have an argument and, you know, the husband or the wife's texting you and, you know, telling you the details about the argument, yeah, that's not an ideal situation.
You know, I've been there many, many times. I mean, especially at this point in the lifestyle, it's for me and for you, especially because you have a platform where people will come to you and speak to you and confide in you. It's a little different now because people will come to you because they trust your experience. But before I got to that place, you know, I've been in situations with many couples where the husband is texting me one thing, the wife is texting me another. And you're seeing the perspective of each person. And you're right, you kind of turn into this Dr. Phil of that relationship, which at this place, the beauty of being an experienced bull is people will lean on your experience. Mm-hmm. Now it's different. But back in the day when I wasn't an experienced bull and I'd have the husband saying one thing, the wife saying another thing, which, like you said, it is very interesting because Mike C and I always kind of have conversations about people. And one thing that I've noticed is that oftentimes couples tend not to. There are a lot of couples who really aren't aware of what the other one truly desires. They really don't know because the husband is in a situation where he's telling her just enough and expressing just enough that he thinks she'd be comfortable. And then the wife is expressing to the husband enough that is stopping where she thinks his comfort level stops. So you have two different people who are doing this. So you have one person who you're talking to, and they're saying, man, I wish I could do this, and I would like to do this, but I don't think she can handle it. And then you have the other person saying, and it's like, okay, well, maybe if you guys come together and talk about it. So I've definitely been in that situation. And also, I will say, the experience that you had with the couple where the husband was leading it, I'm not sure if it's just because I'm in a larger city and I've had a huge interaction with different people at a time. I've encountered lots of situations like that where the husband is really the driving force. The husband is attempting to manipulate the wife and attempting to manipulate me as the bull into get into his own agenda, which those situations turn me off quickly. That's why you'll hear me say over and over, I would much rather, I would like to know what your fantasy is. I spoke to a friend of mine recently, and she said, as a woman, I really don't have an end game in the lifestyle. It's kind of going to go where it goes. And she was very honest about it. She said, I don't have an end game. I'm having a good time. I'm trying to see where this thing goes. And she was like, I don't think men have an end game. And I'm like, no, that's contrary to the male design. Every man has an end game.
Right.
Let me phrase that. Not every man. Most men, most high functioning, intelligent, successful men have an end game because that's how our brains work. We see a thing, we desire a thing, and our fantasies, as a dude, we don't fantasize like women. I know women who can masturbate without thinking about anything. Dudes do not masturbate without a mental image. You may have a special case, but 99% of males, they have a mental image. And as a dude, and every dude will understand this, you're watching a porn and you pass that point where you want to come at, you go all the way back to that point where you want to end at. So as a dude, you have a fantasy and an end game. So I always say to people, tell me where you've gotten, how far you've gotten in your cuckolding experience. And I ask the husband, where do you want this to go? And if a husband tells me he doesn't know, you're not comfortable enough with me to tell me the truth so I can deal with that. But you're fucking lying.
Exactly.
You're fucking lying. I know you know, because your fantasies, the way your brain works, I'm a dude. I can't speak for a woman's brain, but as a dude, there's a fantasy that you jack off to and you come virtually at the same spot every time of that fantasy. And it's the same thing when you are getting into the lifestyle, when you're getting into cuckolding, hot wife, and whatever it is. A dude has an end game. So, guys, I'm sorry I just told on you. And ladies, understand, your husband has an end game. And if he hasn't told it to you, it's because he doesn't feel like he has a safe space to tell it to you. You know, so.
Very true.
Yeah. So that to me is when I'm dealing with couples. That's where I kind of. That's one of the things that I use when I'm talking to the husband to see how honest he is. If he tells me he doesn't, oh, well, you know, I want to go where it goes. The fuck out of here. Of course, we always want to go where we all want to go where it goes. But motherfucker, you know where you want it to go. That's what I want to know.
I need to get down to the nitty gritty and what the detail is here.
So we'll push on to your expectation as a bull. We have end games as bulls as well. So you meet a couple, you like the couple. What type of relationship is your ideal relationship with the couple that you meet?
Generally, so there's general, I would say there's a general outcome that I'm hoping for, and then it depends on what I learn about the couple, how I vibe with them, a situational outcome that I, you know, might have in mind. So the general outcome is, you know, for me, I'm mostly done with, you know, the kind of one and done kind of deal, unless it's like a lifestyle event or something like that. I generally prefer to have like a couple that I could play with, if not regularly, semi-regularly, and vibe very well with them, you know, and, you know, be able to form, you know, friendship, both inside and outside the bedroom. That's my general outcome that I'm looking for when I'm dealing with a couple. Once I get to know a couple, sometimes there are couples that I'm like, oh, okay, you know, maybe this, I could experience this with them, or, you know, they may be interested in this.
Emotionally, what are you looking for with a couple emotionally?
Emotionally, I'm looking for, I mean, good, stable friendship is really what I'm looking for.
Are you looking to be her boyfriend?
Not usually, but there are some cases in which, because I haven't dated vanilla in a while. So there are some cases in which if someone is open to like poly dating, then I start to explore whether, if, you know, if that's something that they mentioned, then I start to explore if that's somebody that I would date. And then I start looking at it from that perspective and start.
What about
it from,
are you talking about dating exclusively where you only play with her, or you're saying that you would be willing to be in a relationship with her while still having fun on the side?
I would probably prefer to have the dynamic of being in a relationship while still having fun on the side. So an exclusive, a completely exclusive dynamic, it's not something that I would rule out. It's just that I haven't met someone yet that was an option for me. I still very much like playing in the lifestyle. I still like meeting new couples and having new experiences. So for myself, I see myself as having an open kind of deal. And that doesn't just apply to me. I think it would be fair to allow, you know, to say to her, you know, you can see other bulls and as you please, you know, that's the way I would look at it. But like I said, I wouldn't rule it out being exclusive with someone if I met that right person and we clicked on some deeper levels than just sex, you know?
So maybe it's just me, but let's say you meet a couple and they tell you right up front, we are looking for a bull who we can be exclusive with. Mm-hmm. And you are, the husband says, or the wife says, she wants to be number one in your life. And they say that right up front. I know for me, that is always, well, for me, that was always something that made me step back. It was always something that was a bit of a dick damper and a red flag. And I will say for me, the only reason that is I like organic relationships. Mm-hmm. I like organic friendships. And I can tell right away that when there is, I can tell when I meet somebody pretty quickly what type of potential there is. Mm-hmm. However, I get very uncomfortable when someone says to me, I'm looking for a bull who is going to put me first. I'm looking for a bull who's looking for emotional connection. And they want more than just sex. For me, I think that would be similar to you and I, our very first conversation. If I said, hey, I just want to let you know, I know we're talking, but I'm looking for a best friend. I'm looking for somebody who is going to be around for the rest of my life or for a long period of my life. That would freak me out had you said that to me personally. Mm-hmm. Because I think that the organic development of a relationship has been ruined. And then I also feel like you've brought vanilla into the lifestyle, the vanilla mentality of I'm dating because I'm looking for a husband, or I'm dating because I'm looking for a wife, I'm dating because I'm looking for a soulmate, which is fine. And it's okay to say that. But that's always freaked me out. And I know that I talk to a lot of guys who don't feel the way I feel. So give me your take on that.
So I haven't run into that specific situation, but it would raise some red flags for me. Because one of the things that I would ask initially is, you know, if that's your lead off, then I need to know, one, what's going on in your relationship. Because ideally, ideally you're getting that from your husband already. You know, mm-hmm. like you ideally you have a strong relationship and you have a loving relationship and a deep partnership with your partner already. And what you have with me at best is probably going to be deep friendship and great sex. But
okay, I'm going to pause you. Let me ask you this question. I'm going to pause you, and I'm sorry for interrupting.
Yeah.
Which one comes first for you? Deep friendship and great sex, or great sex and deep friendship? Which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah, it depends on it really, for me, that really depends on the couple.
Okay.
Because there's been some couples that I've had outstanding sex with that the friendship didn't develop until later. And like the deep friendship.
Was it nice and organic?
Yeah, no, it was completely organic. It wasn't forced or anything.
Gotcha.
But it was completely organic, and it was, but sexually the vibe was, you know, up there. And then like the friendship by like the really deep, comfortable with each other, incredibly comfortable with each other, friendship vibe developed, not at the same speed as the sexual vibe. And then there's been some couples that I've met that from the very first conversation, it felt like, you know, you've known this person all your life, or you've known them for a long time. And when you get together, the sex is great. Because, like, you have this incredible comfort level and like, almost unexplainable bond with them. So, yeah, it's really varied for me.
But we're talking about ideally.
Yeah.
Ideally,
I would say for me, friendship first, because those have always been the better relationships.
Okay. You know, I'm definitely...
Those have been the deeper, more passionate, longer friendships, is when I had that friendship connection first with them. And then, because, like, the sex was never, like, a problem. It was just, like, really, like, great, natural, started right there at level A.
So that brings on another question. Mm-hmm. And I will say this, because I realize that I am a very primal person. Like, I am okay to surrendering to my primal urges. For me, I'm the opposite. If you're a married person, first, in the beginning, I want to be an object of desire, and I want this to be about sex. Mm-hmm. Personally. And the reason that is I feel like if you can meet my wife today, talk to my wife, play with my wife, and then a month from now, you have what looks like a connection as strong as I have to my wife. That's, for me, that's weird. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, I understand that I am expendable, I am disposable, and that place in a person's life, the friendship, the connection, I think that's a thing that has to be earned and built brick by brick. So if I come into a person's situation, the mortar for me is going to be sex. The mortar will be sex. That's going to be the thing that's bringing us together, is the ideal of sex. If the idea of a third, or if the need for something that's missing is why you want me, I don't want to be there, because now that's too much responsibility. Right. That's too much responsibility. So for me, sex is the mortar. I think that the sex, you know, you have this desire, you talk to this couple, I meet them, I play with her, and we happen to have a conversation. And I go home and I'm thinking about how amazing the sex was, and I'm thinking about how amazing the conversation was. And I'm desiring more sex and more conversation. And then I go back, I have sex again, and now I want to stay a little longer and talk a little more. And then it's like, the husband and I are connecting on some shit that I'm interested in. The wife and I are connecting on some shit that we're interested in. And now I find myself texting the husband and we're laughing about something that we talked about. And I find the wife and I texting, and now I'm building a friendship with the husband, a friendship with the wife, but the sex is still my mortar, because I still don't know these people. When you first meet people, they have a mask on. They're not showing you who they really are. So when I'm thinking about my process of building, it's very challenging for me as a person if I'm building with these people and I still have that pressure of, oh, well, I got to make this work so that we can have some sort of a relationship. I know that her end goal is to have a relationship. So I'm going to be a little more interested in the thing that I'm not interested in. I'm going to try a little harder to interact. To me, that ruins the organic piece of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So that's why me personally, I've always gone into it with, I'm in a lifestyle and I want to have an amazing sexual experience. And anything after that that comes, I understand that it wasn't forced. It wasn't, it just happened. And I think it feels much better. And it also helps me to build categories and understand that I am in this box because I am expendable. And it's going to take a very long time before I'm not expendable. And when I achieve expendable status, it's not that I'm no longer expendable to the wife, because that happens often where I'm not expendable to the wife, or I'm not expendable to the husband because the husband wants me to keep her happy. I am not expendable to the couple because we've built this friendship and relationship. But it's organic. It's I don't like the hey, we're looking for a bull who's going to be with us consistently for a long time. And every human being is looking for fucking connection. But I don't want forced connection. I don't, because a lot of guys, if you're telling me this when I'm looking at your wife's titties and my dick is hard, I'm going to say yeah to a whole lot of shit.
Exactly.
So you're setting yourself up for failure because a single guy, a bull in the lifestyle, this is about a physical experience. Well, let me phrase this. For most bulls, it starts out as a physical experience. Mm-hmm. And then it can turn into more. There are couples who I've met, I've played with, and the sex wasn't that good, just be honest. Or the dynamics were weird as fuck and I wasn't comfortable. But we became great friends, and we don't play anymore, but we're great friends. There are people who I've met and I've played with the couple and the sex is fucking phenomenal, but we have nothing in common outside of that.
Yeah, I've had more instances of that second one.
And so we can still have sex and we can still crack some jokes and we can still have drinks, but that's all I can have with you. But what would have happened if that couple would have said, we can only play if you understand that our end game is us being more than just a play date.
Right.
So that's my,
I would tell you what I'd tell that couple. They're looking in the wrong space for that. I wouldn't necessarily go into the lifestyle looking for something like that. You know, that can develop organically, like you said. But yeah, this isn't, the lifestyle is more about an emphasis on the physical, especially in the beginning. You know, there are some couples that want polyamorous relationships, you know, and there are other avenues to look for that. For instance, I know of a couple that they got into the lifestyle because he was having cuck fantasies. And he wasn't really feeling.
He was having what? I'm sorry?
Cuck fantasies.
Oh, okay, got you.
Yeah. So she wasn't feeling that, but she tried it out and she really liked the lifestyle. And she had always had a thing for black guys, and so this was kind of a way for her to, you know, fulfill that fantasy, live out that fantasy. And it progressed. When I met them, he was still, you know, self-identifying as a cuck. It progressed where he went through a lot of anxiety and angst as a cuck, you know, with her dating other men. And they worked that out, and their dynamic is completely switched now to a poly dynamic in which she has a boyfriend who literally lives on the other side of the country that she goes to visit sometimes. And, you know, she has a husband, and she has a loving relationship with both. And the husband and the boyfriend, who originally she met as a bull, are good friends. That was their ideal, you know, relationship, and it developed into something more organically. But going the lifestyle route to try to find that isn't the ideal. And I would say to a couple that approached me with that. It's like, you know, once I find out, you know, number one, what their relationship is like, it's like, well, you're looking for like a poly situation. And that's just not something that I jump into or that I commit to, especially from the jump, you know. And if that's the condition of playing with you, then we probably should play.
Okay. That I can agree with. That I can definitely jump on board with. So you meet a couple. You know that you like the couple. Mm-hmm. You begin interacting with the couple. What if a bull is meeting a couple and he begins to interact with the couple, how would you recommend he interact with the wife, the husband, and the couple? How do you recommend those interactions start off with so that they can be on the path to creating either a long-term play situation or build a long-term friendship?
So it starts with respect, and it starts with communication. And that goes both ways, in which, you know, the couple is, you know, wanting to find out as much about their bull as they possibly can, you know, at a comfortable pace. And the bull, likewise, and they're doing it respectfully and communicating honestly and forthrightly. And a lot of times when people talk about honest communication, a lot of times those conversations don't have to be hard if you approach them in respectful yet empathetic manners. I would just say, you know, enjoy, be present.
Hey man, you got to give examples. You got to give examples of the right ways and the wrong ways.
Yeah. So let's see here. So I would say, like, it's really where you're going to find out where things are going, especially if it's going to be a long-term deal, is in those conversations, those moments in which you're talking together. One of the things that I like to do is I like to establish a group text between the wife and the husband and myself. So that way I'm not communicating with them separately. Now, at some point, it'll come about where, like, I'm communicating with the husband about, you know, maybe like a sports topic or, you know, nerding out about history or something. And, you know, we talk about that amongst ourselves. Or in one case with one couple that I've, play with, we talk about special things to do with the wife, like anniversaries. He'll say, hey, we're getting something together and we kind of want to surprise her with this. And so, you know, we'll do that because we know she likes surprises and we know her well enough to know what she likes. But I kind of put that group thing together just so that way everybody's communicating and everybody is growing organically together. There isn't separate conversations. So when you come together, like for instance, if you're talking to the wife and things are growing at a good pace with you and the wife, and then you guys meet up and, you know, she's been busy at work and she hasn't really brought up those conversations to him. And like you guys start talking, he's like, hey, what is going on? What is this? You know, even if he's not a part of that conversation, he gets to see it. And vice versa. So, like, those questions are being asked in that group text. Everybody's talking together, working together, and growing together. Probably be a good specific example of that.
That's great. That is really, really, really good. That is really good. I agree with that.
Definitely, if you have whatever way you're communicating with a couple, especially if it's two different, if, you know, say for instance, you meet them on like a dating profile and there's two separate profiles. put together a group message if you can on whatever particular app or site that you're on. Or if you have their phone numbers, and both of their phone numbers, group text, always group text. You know, for instance, I have one couple that I play with in Texas, in which he and I nerd out about history and the politics and a lot of stuff. And so there was one point we were still in the group text, and she goes, one day she's like, "Hey, could you guys just like talk about this by yourselves? Because this is like blowing up my phone, and I'm not really into history like that."
Yeah,
yeah. You know, but we had reached that point where there was trust there. You know what I mean? There was a real level and a foundation there of, okay, yeah, they can have their thing, and you know, we'll come back together for our collective thing.
Yeah, that is that's really good information. I think it's hard to fail with that one, and that's kind of why I ask you the question: the relationship with the husband, the wife, the couple. Because mm-hmm.
They can be three very separate relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're done right, if they're approached with respect, they work together almost like spokes in a wheel.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's you can, you know, there's some couples in which I have a relationship with the wife in which, so for instance, there's a couple that I play with that I know that if we were in the same city, she and I would probably be, you know, like boyfriend and girlfriend, even if that wasn't what we called it. I mean, because we've talked about, and her husband knows about this and is totally cool with this. We have a lot of the same musical interests, and we talked about going to concerts together and, you know, just, you know, going and doing things together. They have a dynamic in which they're very open to that. It's not top of mind what they're looking for with every bull that they see, but they're open to that happening organically. And then he and I also nerd out and geek out and have, you know, our interests that we share. And then there's what happens when we're the three of us are together, in which it just flows and works very well. And primarily, I think one of the reasons why everything works so well when the three of us are together is because I get along individually so well with each of them.
Yes. Yes, I definitely. There are many couples with different dynamics, but I think when you take on the mantle of bull, mm-hmm. it is very important to understand that when you think of a cuckolding relationship, the husband is the cuck. You know, the husband's role is like literally in the name. And so the need for inclusion is very important. Just like every woman you're with requires something different, every cuck you're with requires a different level of attention. And mm-hmm. I think that a lot of bulls fail because they're in it for just the pussy.
Yep.
They're not in it for the experience, because it is an experience. It's an experience, the importance of identifying what she wants, identifying what he wants, and building from that. I've experienced earlier when I was in my early experiences, I've made the mistake of allowing a wife to completely exclude his bull, exclude her cuck, without that being part of the program. That's not what he wants. I've been with cucks who want to feel excluded, who want to have that feeling, the feeling where almost like they're being cheated on, or that feeling where they are completely giving their wife the power of it, and she gets to tell what he's involved in. But then I've met, you know, I've been with couples where the cuck wants to have, you know, he wants a blow by blow, you know, every detail, like your fucking sports announcer of what happened when we got together. Okay, you got together, she walked in, you know, what'd you do from this point to that point? That is his thing. So I think there are a lot of guys out there who completely disregard the cuck and they just dive right into the pussy. And hey, I love pussy as much as the next guy. Mm-hmm. But you've entered a dynamic and there's a role that has to be played, and communicating and understanding what both people want within that situation. Because if I can make him comfortable, I can push her further. And if I can push her further, I can expand his pleasure. And if I can expand his pleasure while making her comfortable, I can, like, we can continue to push this thing further and enjoy and have more fun. But the second he feels like he's not included in this, then you're setting the whole situation on fire. And if you don't know what his thing is, because cuckolding goes from very, very mild to very, very extreme. So his thing may be just when you're playing, he wants to be the person that brings you a towel. That might be his thing. His thing may be, I want a good video recording of the play. That may be his, whatever his thing is. If you don't know, you don't identify it, and you don't make sure that he gets it, then you're going to limit your experience.
Well, you're going to miss out on a lot of the really good couples, because you don't know how many couples have told me that they've eliminated guys because the wife didn't feel that he was respectful enough of the husband. You know, for instance, I have a couple that I will be playing with next month. And in some conversations that we've had, she literally stopped seeing a bull because this guy did not want her husband around. And mind you, in their dynamic, you know, the husband's totally cool with not being there. You know, he'll say, hey, come to, you know, our house and, you know, you can play and, you know, be up in the room and I'll be off in another wing of the house doing something else. And he's totally cool with that. But like occasionally he likes to sit in the corner and watch. And this guy, don't really want to call him a bull just because of, you know, some of the behavior that he exhibited. Definitely good. Not like a bull.
Single guy.
He's a single guy. It just, he really wanted to, I mean, he wanted her completely to himself, which is a major red flag for me. Like, didn't want to interact with her cuck at all. And I'm thinking, like at the end of the day, however good, you know, you have sex with this woman, whatever you do, that's still her husband. That's who she's going home to. That's who she's built the life with. If you can't even give a cursory amount of respect to that man, who even as a cuck is letting you fuck his wife, what are you doing? You know what I mean? So,
fucking up. That's what you're doing.
You're fucking up bad. That to me is a major red flag, and it's something that a lot of bulls have to be more cognizant of and get over their insecurities about dealing with another guy like that.
But here's the thing, that's where the communication comes in, because I'm sure that in the beginning of that situation, they did have that communication. And I'm sure that I would imagine that it was one of those situations where over time, the cuck offered, allowed more freedom for them to play together. The single guy got used to it. And then he felt like he was not, he felt like he wasn't getting his privacy. And he started making the wife feel like he didn't want it. And then, of course, she's going to try to please him. And it starts to be this little mind game that some bulls will begin to play where they start making insinuations. And over time, the more they get comfortable with the wife and, you know, the cuck who says, oh, well, if you want to play with her by herself, but, you know, I'd love to come. And the guy's playing the, oh, well, you know, I'd rather you not. Oftentimes the cuck will just say, okay, go ahead and play with her. And that's because he loves his wife. She's having a great time. He doesn't want to be the one to ruin it for her. But she's a good wife because once she begins to identify that, okay, he's trying to cut my cuck out of this. So now this is no longer a cuckolding relationship. Mm-hmm. Because she is the one. You know, the wife is the one who really is a driving force behind a cuckold. She's a driving force behind a cuckolding relationship. She's the centerpiece. And as the centerpiece, if she desires to have the husband there, if she desires not to have the husband there, and that's what they have arranged, then it works. But if the bull tries to begin to, if the bull thinks he's the centerpiece and he's the one who's trying to, you know, direct all the traffic, you know, it's the same thing. It's an imbalance. As a bull, I don't want the cuck trying to direct the fucking traffic, all the traffic. And as a cuck and a couple, the bull shouldn't be the one directing all the traffic because now that becomes one-sided. Just like when you have those cucks who try to direct all the traffic and it becomes one-sided. The wife, she's in the middle. She's the balancing point. If she's directing the traffic, it can't become one-sided because she has to communicate with her cuck, husband, and she's also communicating with her bull. So if the husband and the wife agrees and the wife and the bull agrees, she's the one that's not going to throw it. She should be the one who's not going to be throwing things out of balance. You know, the bull, if he's trying to steer the ship from his position, then that's a problem.
Exactly. No, I agree with that.
All right. So now, as we continue to roll through this and through this process, right? What about boundaries? Okay. How do you go about, when do you establish your boundaries?
In the very beginning. You know, so you have to say, you have to know what you are and are not willing to do. And I don't think you can go into a situation and then later on say, okay, you know, I think there's hard things that you won't do or that you will, you know, you will take as disrespect, and you have to figure out a way to communicate that up front. Like, one of the first things that I ask couples, what's off limits? What's out of bounds? What are your guys' limits? What are your boundaries? What are the things that you won't do? You know, are those hard? Are those soft? You know, so those conversations, usually had them like right in the beginning. For instance, a lot of, you know, new couples, have boundaries like, you know, not kissing and stuff like that. That might be hard, but once you get into a situation, it's probably going to be a soft boundary, especially, you know, with the right bull. But if you have a hard boundary of...
So what happens if no kissing is a... So if no kissing, let's say it's a hard boundary. All yeah. right. This is... have you ever been in a situation where it was said to be a hard boundary and you're knee deep in somebody's wife and then she kisses you?
Yes.
What do you do?
In that situation, she literally kissed me, and this was like we were going at it. And I had kind of avoided it, and she was like, you know, starting to kiss on my neck and whatnot. And I'm like, so I look at him, no reaction, you know, he's enjoying the moment. And so I keep going, we're going at it. And she literally puts both her hands on my head and goes in for like a full kiss. So I didn't immediately pull away, but as soon as she was done, I just like stopped everything. I was like, so is that cool? Y'all good with that? And he's like, whatever she wants to do. Okay.
Dude, I failed that test so many times. I'm not going to lie, dude. I fucking failed that test.
Yeah, there was a time when I probably would have just kept going. But
yeah, I'm better now, but dude, it took me a long time not to get... I failed that so many fucking times.
This situation, I was just like, yeah, I'm going to stop this. Because that's literally what I'm thinking in my mind. Is like, you know, they told me in the initial conversations over text, kissing's a no-no. Okay. We meet up, we have dinner, kissing's a no-no. Okay. We get in there, things are getting hot and heavy. You know, me and her are vibing very well, and chemistry's really there. And like, I start noticing as things start going along, like, she's real, like, it's almost like natural reaction. Like, she's falling into kiss. Like, this is like what I'm doing in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
She's like wanting to do it.
You can feel it coming.
And then, like, that. Exactly. And then, like, when I would I was kind of darting away, like, I moved my head around, that's how she started kissing on my neck. So I'm like, okay, let's just, you know, let that ride and see what happens, right? And thinking, like, you know, maybe she'll catch herself. And then when, like, you know, she puts the hands on my head and literally guides my head. Okay, this, like, she literally wants this at this point. So I got to stop this and see. And also, too, this was a bigger guy. Sitting over here in this court. So I'm not, you know, trying to leave here with a black eye. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to make sure, like, hey, you good with this? So, yeah, I just a quick stop, check in. They were good with it. And then next thing you know, we were kissing. And like I said, most of the time when I have not found a couple that had kissing as a hard boundary that had kissing as a hard boundary the second, third, fourth time. It's usually like it's something like they go into it and that's the rule because they don't want it to make it too romantic and an encroachment. But you get in that moment and things are flowing and it's really hot, you let it go.
Yeah, I failed, man.
How hot it is that, like, it's okay, I'm not gonna lose her over a kiss.
Yeah. Yeah, like, hey, man, listen, you know, Mrs. Mocha and I talk about experience that we had where, you know, we're doing it. I know they told us the rules, but she kissed me and he did not take it well. And yes, he was a very large human. Yeah, he was a very large human being, which, I mean, is, you know. Anyway, so Mrs. Mocha's like tapped me like, hey, hey, hey. And I look up and there's tears. I'm like, fuck. And then the first thing I'm thinking, like, man, I don't want to have to fight this fucking monster with my dick out. Listen, I'm always good for a fight, but I don't want to have to fight with my dick out. It's just, but you know, it wound up working out. But one of the funniest things that ever happened to me, and a really good friend of mine, he's a really good friend of mine. He had a couple that he played with he still plays with them to this day. And this was years ago. And he's like, hey, you know, they want to do a threesome, want to see two guys with the wife. And, you know, they've never had it before outside of the experience that they've had with him, her, and the husband. You know, and the husband didn't really get involved like that. You know, he would do touching or do whatever she wanted him to do, but he played a very submissive role. So we get there and he tells me all the rules and he kind of glances over them. And I know no kissing was in it. And so we get there and, you know, we're talking to him, we're drinking, we're hanging out. And we talk about the rules. You know, the husband is like, yeah, you know, we save kissing for ourselves. Cool. And mind you, this is years ago, so don't judge me. All right, don't judge me. This is years ago. So wife is, I mean, she's probably like, I don't know, like 52, 53. Fucking uncomfortably hot. Just like, what the fuck? Like, who made this woman? And, you know, basically it was a situation where it's like, okay, I'm the new guy in, so I'm going to start. And then, you know, my buddy was going to join in. So, like, literally, they're, you know, my buddy and the husband, they're like, they're literally watching. They're watching something kind of in the other room. So the plan was I start, they walk in. So, you know, we start, and he says she liked it rough, but she didn't seem very rough to me, you know. So we're kind of in there going at it. And so they walk in and she sees the husband and she's like talking to him, saying how much she's enjoying it. And at one point, like, you know how when they're looking at your mouth, like she's looking at my face and you could feel like the breath of her lips and like her lips like graze your face. And I forgot where I was at, you know, and it's she just drew me in and like that glance of my lips on hers. And then she just started kissing me. And like, she really, and we were having sex and kissing like for a good 5 minutes. And so, you know, I feel like a little tap on my shoulder and I like look over and it's my buddy. Like, he's got this look on his eyes. Like, really, dude? I'm like, fuck. Like, I know I fucked up. So I look to my left. The husband's gone. Husband's fucking. He's left the room. And my buddy's like looking at me with the look like, you got to be fucking kidding me. So like, I stop. I get up and she's still totally unaware. So like, I get up. And so she reaches up and grabs my buddy's dick. And like, he's like, hey, you need to go talk to him. And she's like, what? And he's like, kissing. She's like, oh shit. And so she goes in there. He's like, bro, keep in mind, this has been my friend for a lot of years. So we have no filters between each other. He was like, dude, I'm never fucking inviting you back here. I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I got lost in the sauce. Like, I'm so sorry. And like, literally, like, I've never been invited back. Never got invited back to that. So that was a good lesson, you know, back then, because I was newer in the game, man. And I'm telling you, my dick overpowered my higher functions. And dude, this was years ago. This lady has to be like, she's gotta be close to fucking 70 now. This was years ago, dude. Yeah. And she's still hot. Like, Like, if I get a chance again, I'm not fucking it up.
He's like, I'm not messing this one up.
I'm not going to fuck it up this time. Like, I've learned. I've got some experience under my belt. You know, that was like 15 years ago. Give a guy another shot. Like, fuck. Yeah. So I've definitely not succeeded every time on that front. But I'm good now. No, I follow rules now. Just for you couples out there, you know, I will respect rules and boundaries.
We're not gonna blow past your boundaries.
Yeah, I'm not. Early on, I will be honest. Like the first probably 5 years, in the lifestyle, like I definitely blew past some boundaries, and sometimes it was a good thing. Sometimes it created problems that what really woke me up to it was I understood that I created problems for her. And that's something that I never want to do. Like where you have a guy who's, you know, outside of the bedroom, you know, he gets mean, he gets aggressive, you know, he turns to an asshole on her. And I think that I had an experience like that made me really see the importance of respecting boundaries. Because listen, at the end of the day, I'm not physically afraid of somebody, you know. So, you know, you're young and you know, you're like, what the fuck is he gonna do to me? Like, and I wasn't a dick like that, but at the end of the day, I never had that thing in the back of my head where it's like, oh, that's a big dude. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about that, you know. But then once I realized later on, like, okay, she's going to suffer for my stupidity.
Yeah.
You know, and that really changed. That actually made me kind of, after that experience, getting a phone call from a wife who, you know, didn't get the video that she was supposed to get. And I knew she was supposed to get it, and she knew she was supposed to get it, and we didn't get it. And then I get a phone call and listen to him in the background screaming and breaking shit. It made me actually kind of step back. Yeah. It made me step back from the lifestyle for a short period of time. And it made me really respect the importance of rules, because at that time, I didn't realize that my behavior as a bull could have an effect after we left. Like, I knew it had a sexual effect, but I wasn't aware of the emotional effect and how it, you know, the extremes of what my behavior could cause. So, like, I think that was for me when I started to really take being a bull serious and the responsibility of a bull being serious and the communication and the expectations, what I expect from myself, what I expect from couples. That's when I started really looking at the cucks a little more to see, okay, what kind of person is this? Because I know that he can't harm me. I mean, well, I'm not worried about someone harming me physically or mentally or emotionally, but so that changed it for me, you know, in huge ways. So, you know, that's sometimes you learn the hard way.
Right? No, I completely understand that.
So boundary crossing. What happens when someone crosses your boundaries? How do you respond to, not necessarily someone crossing them, but the attempt to cross them? You know, we'll get into later that we'll get into what your yeses, nos, and your boundaries are. But before you, when we first get into the lifestyle, you know, especially as bulls, I think that, you know, we have a lot stricter and harder boundaries than we do as we gain experience. When you first got into it, did you have your boundaries tested?
Yes. There were things that I would probably be open to now that I just wasn't as comfortable in my own self. And so, I definitely, there were some boundaries that I set that were definitely tested, and people tried to push for sure.
How did you deal with it?
Depending on the situation. There were some times, you know, I'm not proud to admit it, but back in those days, in the early days, if the wife was hot enough, I'd think about it.
And, yeah. Hey, buddy, you're saying something that every man in the world understands. Come on, dude. We're not gonna skip out on the way the male brain works. We keep it real, like.
Right. No. Like, if for real. Like, if she was hot enough, I was just like, damn. I don't know. Yeah, let's go for it. You know, one of those kind of deals. You know. You know that moment where they ask you something and you're like,
yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck. Fuck. Okay, let's go.
You're right.
All right, I'll piss on him. Yes. Yes, I understand. I do understand, sir. Hey, and there'll be people out there like, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Fuck all y'all. Y'all know exactly what we talking about. Okay, you understand.
There's just like some women that will make you, you know, push some boundaries. But I really didn't have good, I didn't have anything egregious happen to me or someone, you know, really do something out of bounds. You know, if there was some hesitation, I was, on my part, I was fortunate where there were couples who was like, yeah, we don't have to do that. But as I got more comfortable in myself and I got more comfortable in my experience as a whole, then I was much better able to articulate and say, yeah, no, that's not my thing. I'm not willing to do that. And that's really where I'm at now.
My little brother, Q, he cracks me up, right? Because he talks like, to hear him talk about it, he's fucking hilarious, okay? So, I think for him, the first time... I think the first time somebody tried to push one of his boundaries, he talks about how he's fucking this wife. And, you know, he communicates very well. You know, he's comfortable in situations, but his boundaries are his boundaries, and that's it. So he's fucking this wife, and he's like, so I'm fucking her, and the next thing I know, I feel a hand on my back. He's like, he was like, hey, what you doing? He was like, hey man, I don't need any coaching. Take your hand off my back. I don't have to let him tell that story, but it was so funny because he's like, man, my dick started going down. You know, I'm asking this. He was like, I told the guy what my boundaries are. Like, why is he trying to? He's like, the guy's like literally trying to rub my back. He was like, I can't do this and deal with that the same. So, you know, so for me, I've never had a bad knee jerk reaction. I've never had an extremely bad knee jerk. Let me say that. I've never had an extremely bad knee jerk reaction. I think early on. And early on, I think that's when you're challenged the most because you don't want to be a dick. Like, you don't want to be a dick. this guy's let me fuck his wife. And I know I've always been very big on communication. So I know that we discussed this. You know, I know that I've said, I've told you what I'm into, what I'm not into. And I think that the first few times I've ever had my boundaries pushed, it was always a verbal thing. Hey, would you mind if I, you know, massage your balls while you're fucking my wife? Oh, we talked about earlier. No, thank you.
You're right.
Like, I've always been good at not freaking out, like the knee jerk reaction. But I do know guys who've reacted poorly, like poorly. And, you know, going back to my little brother is funny because I introduced him to this couple. And this is my brother. So just understand before anybody judge me and you say that I was fucked up for this. All right. I'm a fucked up person. And it's my little brother. Okay. It's part of my responsibility in life to be fucked up. So there's a couple I used to play with for a while. Wild couple. Like they're like extreme. Like they're in the world of cuckolding. If you can think of it, they're with it. Period.
Wow.
However, they're very respectful of other people's boundaries. Like I probably the most transparent couple I'd ever met in my life. I talked to them, met the wife first, met the wife out. We had a conversation. We go back to their place. Him and I had spoke. We went through my process, met him online, spoke to him. He quickly got her involved. We all spoke on the phone. After that, her and I met. They were very honest. If she finds you physically attracted, because she said, hey, I've been catfished a lot of times, or the guy doesn't represent, go over there, meet him, sit down. And they're like, look, you know, we're into everything. The husband wants to fluff. He wants to clean up. You know, he wants to get fucked. You know, he wants to dress up. Like, he wants to be pissed on. He wants to be spanked. And all of this is by the bull. Like, he's like, they were with everything. And I was like, okay, there's a long list of things you just mentioned that I am not into. Whatever you guys are cool with between yourselves, like, you want to clean up? Absolutely. Like, I mean, I have no problem pissing on somebody. I'll piss on anybody. Like, if that, I'm good with that. Like, listen, I'll piss on a whole room full of people. I'm cool with that. Like, I mean, but here's the thing. Like, I know what turns me on and what turns me off. Okay, so they're like, cool. But like, their big thing was like, okay, he is always going to clean up. And they were huge fans of snowballing. Like, when I say they snowball, like, I've never seen snowballing like they snowball. Like, it's going to go back and forth like 4 or 5 times. Like, by the time the last snowball hits, by the time he gets the last snowball, that motherfucker's like a snowball. It's huge. So I put my little brother on to him. Okay. She's super hot. I know she's going to be his style. And I told them what he was comfortable with. He talked to them. And because it was a referral, like, they didn't go into the whole monologue. So they play. My little brother is very, you know, his limits are still much harder. You know, he ain't pissing on nobody. He's not doing that. Like, he'd never actually seen somebody clean up before at this point. But I did say, look, understand they are a cold couple. Okay. But she likes you. She sees your picture and she likes the thought that you're my brother and you're going to fuck her, blah, blah, blah. But they're a cuckold couple. And, you know, he will clean up afterwards. That's all I told him. Mm-hmm. He goes, we do the process. She gets tested. He gets tested. He goes over. He fucks her. You know, he fucking. Oh, and so he comes all over her stomach. So, you know, she she put work in. Like she, like they, that she's like a real workout when you fuck her. So he, this, so this is what I get. On his way home, he called me. What the fuck? I'm laughing when the phone rings. I pick up the phone and I'm laughing while he's cursing. Because I already know what he got. I know what happened. He was like, dude, I have never in my life seen it. He's like, I came all over her stomach and I lay down and the dude walks over. She tells him to come here. She grabs him by his hair, rough, makes him lick up all the cum. And then he spits it in her mouth. And then she spits it in his mouth. And then he spits it in her mouth. So he's giving me blah, blah, blah. I'm laughing so hard. Listen, I'm laughing so hard I'm wheezing. I'm laughing so hard my ribs are hurting. And he's freaking the fuck out. Like, he is freaking the fuck out. He was like, I almost threw up. He's like, my eyes are watering. I'm laughing so fucking hard I can't see straight. And he was like, why wouldn't you tell me this was going to happen? Now, here's the thing. I know my little brother. I know how he'll react. So I wouldn't do this to a random person, okay? So don't y'all. So everybody keep your judgment to yourself. But that was the funniest shit ever. And here's the thing. He did fuck her more than once. You know, like, you know, he got over his trauma. You know, he didn't get touched. Nothing happened. But, like, that was one of the things that made me laugh when he came back, because, you know, he's my little brother, so, you know, he can contain his faces and stuff like that. You know, he's got a good grasp on himself. But I knew what was going to happen, because I'm going to tell you something. After all the years I've been in the lifestyle,
yeah,
that snowball, the way they did it, freak me out. Like, I used to cream pie her, right?
Yeah.
And because they were like super, like they were very, like they were very selective. Like, okay, I'm only playing with a bull, one bull at a time. All right, so if you're going to be the bull that we play with, we don't expect you to play anybody. But if we play, we want you to be tested. We're going to be tested. She doesn't like condoms, blah, 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 blah. And the first time I played with, they told me all of this. Like, I've seen a cleanup. Like, you've seen a cleanup. Okay, cool. Cleanup. So, first time I cream pie, he's like, sucks it right out of her. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I got to go work the next morning. It was late that night. I'm getting dressed. So, I'm kind of, you know, I'm not really paying attention. I'm over there finishing up my Corona, you know, while I'm getting dressed. And then I see this snowball back and forth thing happening. And, like, I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
I start getting a little nauseous. Like, oh my God. Like, that is the biggest fucking snowball I've ever seen in my life. Like, I would literally like to, like, this, the snowball was so big, like, I wish I could have it on video where I can just be like, look at this snowball. Okay, look at, like, yeah, dude, they're fucking wild. Cool ass couple, fun. Probably one of the best communicating couples I've ever met. You know, very extreme. Now, when it came to connecting on different levels, we really only connected on a physical level. But here's the thing. They're cool people, like awesome people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we only connected on a physical level. You know, his personality and my personality outside of the scene, outside of the fun, he wasn't a person that I would necessarily hang out with. You know, and she also wasn't a person that I would necessarily be interested in talking to. So that was one of those relationships where it was completely physical. They have a great relationship. They love each other. But yeah, that was one of those examples of, you know, you know, a guy going and getting his boundaries, you know, getting his boundaries tested a little bit. And
yeah. That when I first got involved in the lifestyle, I identify as bi now, and I've engaged in bi play. But in the beginning, it was just kind of something that I was still kind of dealing with. And so, like, when my boundaries get pushed, it was usually with, it wasn't necessarily like people asking me about it. It was people take, especially like some of the guys kind of taking liberties where like we hadn't even had a discussion at all. So it was like, and that to me, that still to me is like one of my deals of like, don't take liberties at situations, and especially if we haven't discussed it.
What do you mean? Just like, so, you're playing with the wife and he just assumes that it's okay.
Oh yeah. Well, I had this situation with this one guy that I had met. They had come into town for a music thing that we had in town. And so I met them while they were in town, and we're playing, everything's good. You know, playing with her, and like, we're a missionary and I'm giving it to her. And somehow in his mind, I guess he was going to get a taste of her pussy while I was in there. So like, he just comes up behind and like tries to get, and I'm just like, whoa, wait a minute. What is
behind?
Yeah. Like he was like right up on my balls. And I'm just like, and then when he told me what he was trying to do, I was like, how were you going to try to do that? With,
yeah.
Okay. Like, no, that's not going to work, bro. We're not going to do that.
Your geometry is off.
Yeah. Big time. So, I mean, I gave him the benefit of the doubt. He said he was trying to get to the pussy. I was like, okay. I mean, my balls was in the way, but okay.
He took a real weird path. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was trying to get to the front door by going to the roof. I got you.
Yeah. It, like, we hadn't even talked about it. We had that never even came up. Buy stuff had never even, like, come up. You know, so, yeah, it was.
But now that it's come up and you've brought it up,
yeah.
Now that you've brought it up, all right, this is what we're going to talk about in the next podcast.
Okay.
The existence of bisexual bulls, bisexual black bulls within the lifestyle, and where do they fit in?
There's other ones out there? From what I've been hearing, like, ain't none of them bi.
Well, we're going to get into that. We're going to dive balls deep into that topic. Hope you like the pun.
Yeah.
Hope you like the pun. Which, very big topic. I've mentioned it on a few podcasts. I've gotten quite a few questions, comments, questions, and things like that about that. So I'll be excited to have a bull on who can answer those questions.
Yeah, I'm an open book, so. Ask away.
There's not a lot of open books out there. So, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you hanging out with me, my friend Drew. We hope that we're able to educate you, give you some information, educate you through our experiences, and help you find a comfortable path on your journey through cuckolding, interacting with bulls, and for bulls, interacting with couples. So I'm going to let Drew once again plug your magazine. Tell them where they can find it.
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter, either at Space Magazine or at the Drew Marston, and you'll find all the links on how to find it.
All right. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for hanging out with us here at Old Faces. I'm your host, Mr. Mocha, forgot my own name, and we'll see you back.